The text for this morning's sermon is the Holy Gospel, as you've heard read, and the theme this morning is Jesus among the things of my Father. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. My dear brother and sister in Christ Jesus, if you were going to use the Word of God to find all that Jesus did in his childhood, well, you're not going to find very much. Actually, between the flight of our Lord and the Holy Family into Egypt, up to and including his baptism, we are told of exactly one instance, one event in the life of Jesus' childhood. Today's Holy Gospel. When our Lord is 12 years old, yes, we would love to know more about his childhood, what he was like. Did he use Joseph's tools? Remember, Joseph was a carpenter. Did he use his tools and then put them back clean and in the right place? Yet, the Holy Spirit tells us all that we need to know as a summary of our Lord's childhood. Even as a boy, Jesus loved God his Father. He loved him with all of his heart and with all of his mind and with all of his soul and with all of his strength. He also honored his earthly parents and was obedient to them. He grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with man. Luke tells us that it was the custom of Mary and Joseph to go to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. This was a requirement of every Jewish man to keep the law of Moses by attending three mandatory feasts. They were called the Shalosh Regulim, the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, the fact that Mary also went along, which wasn't required, tells us that this was no mere outward observance of God's law. Mary and Joseph, they were not going up to Jerusalem just because they had to go. They went gladly. They went gladly up to the house of the Lord. There they celebrated the Passover as they remembered God's redemption of Israel from Egypt and as a shadow of the great redemption that the Son, the very Lamb of God, would soon complete. So they journeyed from Nazareth to Jerusalem. And they would journey in a caravan with all of their friends and neighbors. Traveling alone in those days was just too dangerous. And after Passover was completed, again, they would join together into a caravan and they would travel back down to Nazareth. Yes, I know they were going north, but Jerusalem was up on a high mountain and they actually traveled downhill going up north to Nazareth. But we hear from the text that the boy, Jesus, stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it. How is that possible? How could you lose the Son of God? Jesus was always with them. Jesus was always obedient to them. Well, we should know that the women would always travel with the women. They would be at the head of the caravan, and right behind the women in the caravan would be the men. Now, in those days, children 12 and under would always travel with the mother. So, naturally, Mary thought that Jesus, maybe he was now almost ready for his bar mitzvah at 13. He's almost a man. Maybe Mary thought that he was with Joseph. And Joseph thinking, well, he's 12 and he hasn't been bar mitzvahed yet. He must be with his mother. And also in those days, it was also the custom that young men would travel together, either with the women or with the men. So you see how they possibly lost Jesus. They had traveled a day's journey as they had left Jerusalem. And it took them another day to travel back to Jerusalem. And it wasn't until the third day, notice the third day, that they found him in the temple, where God's word tells us that he, Jesus, was sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "What is this that you were seeking me? Were you not aware that it is necessary that I be in the things of my father?" Now, if you look at your insert, what I just read there about Jesus, you won't find. That's because the insert, the English translation, dear friend, is actually incorrect. One instance where the English translation is incorrect. What Jesus says is the things of my father. The word house is never mentioned. It is not in the original Greek language and is not in any manuscript that we have of the book of Luke. Not there. Everyone says it is necessary that I be in the things of my father. Naturally, Mary and Joseph are astonished. We should be astonished that at the deep love and zeal that a 12-year-old has demonstrated for the things of his father, the word and the works of his father. Jesus wants to be in the things of his father, to discuss and to debate the word and the work of his father. We should not be amazed. We should not be amazed that Jesus at 12 should be so in love with all the things of his Father in heaven, that it is necessary, it is absolutely necessary that he be in those things. Jesus at age 12 was fulfilling his task of being the perfect, devout Son of God. The one whom you don't have to command or force to be in the things of his Father. One you don't have to force to be joyful in church, to be in the temple, to read the word, to be a student of Scripture. He is a willing student of all things of his Father, excited to participate and excited to learn. And he does it all. He does it all on his own because he is absolutely devoted to his Father. His will is perfectly connected to his Father's will. Jesus says later to the Jews with his disciples there with him, he says, I quote, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner." End quote of Jesus. After astounding the teachers with his understanding, and after amazing his parents with his behavior, the word tells us he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature, and in favor with God and with man. There he is, the boy who loves God with his whole heart, with all of his mind, and all of his soul, and with all of his understanding, with all of his strength. Here he is, the boy who honors his earthly parents gladly and willingly. In all of his actions, in all of his attitudes, in all of his behaviors, Jesus increased in favor with God and man. This was a child, my dear brother and sister. A boy, a young man who never complained, who never grumbled, who was not self-centered, he was not a brooding teenager, but a kind, thoughtful, considerate of others, and perfectly obedient. And Jesus grew in favor with God and man. He was everything that a boy should be. Our Lord's perfect childhood, even though we have known of only one instance, we see his sincere love for the things of his Father, his obedience to his parents, his love for his neighbor. This is how it was meant to be. This is how it was meant to be for you and for me. This is how it should have been for you and for me if Adam and Eve had not disobeyed God. Instead, you and I know, we know this for sure, that we have not loved God as we should, and we do not love the things of God, our Father, as we should. That we do not always long for his word and his work. That we do not read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest his word as we know we should. We are not always joyful to receive from him, his means of grace. Jesus' childhood serves as an example and a warning for us. It's a warning for young people and adults alike. The life Jesus led is the life that God requires of all his children, including this one. It is not okay for you, even in your youth and especially in your adulthood, to despise the things of God, to despise his word and his work, his blessed sacraments. To desire to be somewhere else on Sunday morning, it is not right and proper for you to dishonor and disobey your parents, no matter what your age is. Never is it right for you to be so self-absorbed, so self-righteous, that you think you're safe and secure, and therefore you don't need the Lord. You don't need his body and blood. You can forget about your baptism, and this you can throw away. You don't need the things of God. You already know everything. You don't need to increase in favor with God, and certainly never with your neighbor. Dear one, with the forgiveness of sins comes a new heart, a new purpose, to be imitators of God as dearly loved children, which is what you are. God tells us that we are to walk in love as Christ has also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. With the mercy of God in our view, you are to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world. Let me read that again. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's what God demands. That's what he expects. Dearly beloved, don't you see your Savior working for you today? Not only in the gospel lesson, but he's actually working for you today. Repent and believe in him, and see how your Father was and is working through Jesus as your substitute, as your kinsman redeemer, to bring you into the things of your Father. But also learn from Jesus. Learn what it looks like to love God and his word so completely with your heart and your mind and your soul and with all of your strength. what it really means to be a student of Holy Scripture. Learn what it looks like to be respectful of your parents at all times, no matter your age, and obedient to those in whom God has placed over you in authority. Learn what it looks like to devote your childhood and your adulthood, your whole life, to your Lord. Therefore, it is my prayer in 2021, and actually it has been my prayer beginning in 2008 to this very day, that you will always be in the things of your Father, that you will read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest His Word. For here is life, dear one, here is life. Make it your goal in 2021 to bring your children to Sunday school every Lord's Day. And then, parents, don't go back home. Don't sit out in your car and listen to the radio. There's nothing good on the radio anyway. What's good for you is to be in adult Bible class. Read, mark, learn, and inwardly digesting His Word, so that you and your children will continue to increase in wisdom and in favor with God and man. So finally, by faith in Christ Jesus and for His sake, your Father in heaven sees you as already being everything that His child is to be. Be comforted. Be assured. For Jesus is your Redeemer. He is your kinsman Redeemer, who has covered you with His blood. And since He has covered you with His blood, dear one, all your sin, each and every one of your sins, is forgiven. Forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.